Stay tuned.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of AHA Presents About Education. I'm Neil Kreisel and I'm your host every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 10, and on Saturdays at 4. We're brought to you by Montecito Bank and Trust, proudly serving our communities and their financial needs for over 40 years. Pierre Lafond, Wendy Foster, offering fine clothes, good food, and vintage wines. Habitat for Humanity, building strength, stability, and self-reliance through shelter. And CSU Channel Islands, no matter which of their academic programs you choose, you will be at the center of your educational experience. And we're here today with Brian Palmer and Jamie Balian, who are both artists what are you laughing about, Richard?
We're laughing at you.
What? He's laughing at me. What did I do wrong?
Their name.
Did I pronounce the name wrong?
Hello.
It's all good.
Let me try it again. Brian
Palmier.
Palmier. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
Jaime Balian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yay. Anyway, that's it. That's about it for today. We've sort of taken all our time with introductions. Brian and Jaime both are artists. Brian is also an educator, and they're involved in. In fact, they're. Leaders of an art show in and an organization in our community called the Oxnard Plain, which I guess is through. It's on now and it's through February 9th. So first of all, tell us what the Oxnard Plain is.
Well, the Oxnard Plain, as it is right now, is a show that's going on at the gallery at Cal State Channel Islands, and it's a collective of artists. From around Ventura County, as well as a publishing project that we've been operating out of the Carnegie Art Museum in Oxnard, and we're taking that to the gallery at Cal State Channel Islands.
So there is a something called the something plain, which is a big area up in north of here, which is a big place to go camping. Where does the word plain come into this? Oxnard Plain. What's the word plain mean? P-L-A-I-N.
Well, the Oxnard Plain is the region that we cover, and it's a big agricultural plain from the Santa Monica Mountains, basically to Ojai and Ventura.
And the reason you wanted to have that as the name and the imagery is because
The reason that we chose that is because it encompasses more than where Brian and I are from, Oxnard, and it's more of just the whole region of Ventura County.
We basically wanted to have the, when you say Oxnard Plain, like Jaime said, it's all the way from Thousand Oaks to, let's say, Santa Barbara. So the amalgam of culture that lives in this area, that's what we want to encompass. And that's kind of what our goal is to basically kind of talk about an uncorrupted kind of area of California that's just basically grassroots. It's agriculture, it has industry, it has, you know, it has really nothing to do with it's kind of a bedroom community at the same time. It's suburbs of Los Angeles. I mean, that's kind of where the Oxnard Plain come. That why we use the word Oxnard Plain. We didn't want to pinpoint it just Oxnard, just Ventura, because growing up, I was born and raised Oxnard. Jaime was born and raised Oxnard also. We act and we are inspired by all of that area, Ventura, Oxnard, Thousand Oaks, Santa Paula, and all that area. And the people that are part of the Oxnard Plain Collective, some of the artists are from all over. Some of them are from Camarillo. Some of them are from Ventura. Some of them are, you know, were born in Santa Barbara but live in Oxnard and things like that. So that's why it is called the Oxnard Plain.
And do the artists sell the paintings there as well?
When we had the show at the CAM studio next to the the Carnegie Art Museum in Oxnard. Yes, that was one of our goals when we took on some of the participants of the Oxnard Plain for that. When we did it there, was not only teach them how to speak visually or how to create or help them with their art practice, but how do you sell your work? How do you price your work? How do you make additions? And yes, we did have some acquisitions happen through the CAM Studio. Show.
And this is taking place at CI.
The show right now, yes.
And so, and you just talked about things that help the artist. Is that one of the motivations why CI wanted to be involved with this? Because it was a way of quite frankly, educating these aspiring painters and photographers.
Definitely. I think for myself, I think Jaime can talk about this too, is living in New York and seeing a lot of nonprofit galleries disappear, where a nonprofit gallery can give a jump or a step for a young artist or a young image maker to get that show or to get that gallery or to get to that next level with their career. So Oxnard Plain was set up to not only help young artists kind of, you know, give them some what's the word I'm looking for? Exhibition real estate that they can put their work up. We also, Jaime and I both, Jaime just came back. Well, he came back in November, where we're trying to take artists to international art fairs. Jaime took the zines and some of the publications that were made at the Oxnard Plain. He took those to the New York.
It was the New York Art Book Fair. That's held at MoMA PS1.
So you just said the word zine.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm over 18, and I don't know what the word zine means. What is a zine?
Well, zine, it's short for magazine, and that's sort of what it is, but it can be many different things. And what they are, they're just small publications of very just different topics. The ones that we do are sort of graphically driven. We call it lens-based art, so there's a lot of photography.
Is this on paper?
So this is on paper.
The difference between a zine and something else that's on a computer. Is that the difference?
Because this that's the difference.
Okay, there you go.
That we've got the impact of print and really of like of ephemera that we don't really have a lot or as much anymore with just handout. Bills and just printed matter, and that's sort of what we're trying to use.
Which is interesting because the art world's going the other way now. The Mona Lisa is going to have 10 million pixels and be as nice, they said, on a computer as it is in the in France, in Paris. I don't think that's necessarily what the reality is, but there seems to be a movement in the other direction as well to make everything available to everyone, so put it on the computer.
Yeah, and that's sort of what we're
pushing against,
and really just making that using that and using sort of the just the region that we focus on, just keeping it all very sort of niche, and that really separates us from. When we go to these bigger international art fairs.
So were all the students, the art students particularly at CI, invited to this? Are they all aware of it? And do the teachers, the professors go too? Is this sort of like part of the auxiliary educational process at CI in the art program?
Well, I think what happened with Jaime and I when we did the first version of this with the museum is we kind of like, it's cheesy as it sounds, I mean, we built it and we were like, I think they'll come. And they came. So we kind of took that same kind of attitude at CI where, yes, at first we kind of set up shop, and then Jaime and I are there every Thursday from 11 to 2. And slowly but surely, people started coming in and saying, what is this? What is this all about? And we explain, oh, well, this is what we did in the past, and we're kind of trying to do the same thing here at CI. And we had some alumni come in. We had some students come in, putting stuff up on the wall. We left one wall white so that we have a little workspace there where we have desks and We have a computer where we print things out and we can put it up on the wall. We can talk about it. And we had Amy Elkins, an artist, a local artist, came last week and we kind of worked some stuff out. And we just leave it up there because that's what we did when we were at the museum. We kind of left things up so we can talk about them. The other thing, too, with the Oxnard Plain and what Jaime and I, a lot of our goals is to build community, because community pushes movement. And, I mean, without community – I mean, we couldn't go to these art fairs. We couldn't go to these book fairs. So to build a community or kind of incubate a community and help a community give their voice and push that internationally is one of our biggest goals. And I think Jaime's, he did really well when he went to the art book fair. I mean, MoMA bought the table.
Yeah, MoMA bought the entire collection of books that we took out there, as well as the New York Public Library. We just sort of just really stood out as a distinct place in that audience.
And this is open when? Mondays through only on Thursdays and Fridays?
Thursdays, Jaime and I are there. We're kind of like what we call doing normal Oxnard Plain business. We're there. Him and I are talking about what we want to do next. We have had a couple artists come in and visit us, and they brought in some projects, and we were looking at them. We put them up on the wall. We're giving them feedback. We're doing some critical, you know, just like talking, like having a critique, you know, about the work that they want to bring. But yes, the actual show itself is open.
Just library hours. Yeah.
And then we are there personally there, from on Thursdays from 11 to 2.
So it's in the library.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and so anyone can just drive up and...
100%, yeah.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone?
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, using innovative social-emotional learning and character building to help teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Brian Palmier?
Yep.
Wow, great. And Jaime Ballion.
Yes.
All right, we got that straight. So there was an article in yesterday's Wall Street Journal that said that one of the things that happened in the stock market is that, or the investment market, is that stocks and bonds had a terrible year last year. Mm-hmm. And what benefited were things that, and they didn't put it this way, but I'll put it this way, had a utility beyond investment. And the best performing asset class in 2018 was art.
Okay.
And the second was wine. So the explanation, which I actually agree with, is that if you're going to buy a stock and the stock goes down, you got nothing.
Sure.
If you buy a piece of art and you like it, you can enjoy it, even if at that moment in time someone else doesn't want to pay what you pay for it. So there's sort of there's an investment market component to buying art, but there's also which is why a lot of people, you know, should just follow their own instincts. Do you like the piece because you get the enjoyment of it, not just – you can't hold a stock certificate up in your living room and
some
enjoy looking at it. I mean, maybe somebody can. So you come at an interesting time in the world because I think that, you know, again, art was the best performing asset class in the country this year. So you have had some success, some good success. Your work has been shown at the Met and some really top-notch places. And so tell us a little about that success. How did you do it? What kind of art are you producing?
Well, I think for me personally, my work has to be – my work is very therapeutic. It's very faith-based. A lot of my work describes my experiences I had in Iraq as a soldier. It's very autobiographical. A lot of my work deals with my, you know, being born and raised in Oxnard, California, in Southern California, and how I grew up in a prominently Mexican-American community. A lot of the work that I see younger people doing nowadays is definitely the inspiration is coming within. And I think confidence is a huge thing when it comes to young image makers, young art makers. And I think through the Oxnard Plain, we try to give that kind of confidence. We kind of tell them, yeah, it's okay. And when you're talking about mentorship and they see me working on a project that I'm getting done that's a commission for a U.S. consulate in Nuevo Laredo, and they see me working 14, 15, 24-hour days to get that done and get that out the door. I mean, that kind of mentorship is, you know, I wish I had that when I was their age. Again, seeing me getting ready for a show that I'm having in London, working and working and working and getting stuff out, and that drive and seeing how I pack things, just even some of the most utilitarian things of packing artwork and just getting artwork out there and knowing how to like make a huge installation and just the logistics of things too. Seeing a young art maker seeing that is pretty priceless. And I think when I was in Ventura College, I did a guest lecture at Bill Hendricks's class, his Photo 9 class, and seeing all these young, you know, these young kind of artists and looking at them. And I sat in that same class 30 years ago and seeing those young artists. And I'm like, okay, if I could go back in history, what would I want? And at that time, I wish I had someone like what Jaime and I did at the Carnegie to give them a chance or be able to put your artwork up or have some kind of experience saying, hey, it's okay. If you want to take this career on, if you want to become an artist or you want to become a photographer, you can do it. I did it. Jaime can say the same thing. We have one participant, Jack. I mean, he was 19 years old. He never walked into a museum or never went into an art gallery. His first experience was not only did he have artwork up on the walls, but he actually sold a lot of pieces. And then he went to New York with Jaime to the art book fair and met some people that he always was reading about or looking at their artwork. So these kinds of things and this kind of energy or this kind of mentorship for me, I think is the future of education. I think that's what I think. And that's how when I do a workshop or I do teach a class, that's how I conduct my class as a mentorship. I want to treat my students one-on-one as equals.
So you're incredibly passionate about this and you're a very successful artist. But it sounds like you're doing this for the love of helping other people. It
100%.
Doesn't sound like this is a big moneymaker for you.
100%.
I think that's sort of become Brian and I's practice.
Yeah. This is part of our art practice also. It's not, yeah, definitely.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? What does art practice mean? Or what is
what does it mean as part of your art practice?
Well, it just is, I look at art or practicing art as a doctor practices medicine. You practice art because you're always going to be an artist till the day you die if you have it within you, if that's what you want to do. And I think you're always practicing because you always want to get better and you always want to educate yourself. And when a young artist comes up to me and starts asking me questions and makes me think, I'm blown away. That's what I want. That's what it's a give and take. Again, community. Community is super important. Community creates movements. Movements become documented by art historians. And if you don't nurture community, if you don't nurture or incubate young artists, if you don't help these young artists out, it becomes stale. Like you said, the market is always looking or they're always, you know, you have different markets in the art world. You have primary, which is a gallery, and then you have auction. If you don't have anyone, if the primary market doesn't have any new inventory, what happens? It becomes stagnant.
So I'm not going to let you just gloss over something you said 5 minutes ago. You had an experience in the military in Iraq. Tell us about that.
Well, a lot of my work, especially Act of Faith, has to do with gratitude. When you're in a situation and you might lose your life, you become very religious and you become very humble. And I did a body of work, I've said it again, Act of Faith, which deals with Amanda. Amanda is a promise that you
Act
make.
Act of Faith is a book?
Is a book.
That you wrote.
And it's a body of work that I show.
So you have a book called Act of Faith.
Yes, sir.
And that is both about experience and art?
It documents my installations that I do. So Act of Faith is actually what Act of Faith is very biographical. It has to deal with a lot of traumatic experiences I had in wartime. But what it is if you saw the work, you wouldn't think that. You would just think it's like this very, very like, you know, aesthetically charged installation. When I tell people this is my therapy, this is the way I work out, you know, some of my issues with PTSD and things like that, then it takes on a whole nother narrative. But yeah, so for me, I channel a lot of the things that I did in the military and the things that I want to kind of forget about through this body of work called Act of Faith, which is based on a promise that I made to the Virgin of Guadalupe while in Iraq, saying, if you get me out of this situation, I will make you a manda. I will do something for you in appreciation as if you get me out of this. And the manda is something that you see in a lot of different religions. In Hinduism, you see kind of something kind of in the same realms called a mata, which is kind of a promise you make to a saint to get through some kind of like traumatic situation. But my manda is this body of work. My promise to the Guadalupe is this body of work called Act of Faith. So every time it has a different kind of it manifests in different ways as an installation or as a book. There's a video element of it that is that I documented some charros in Zacatecas, Mexico that do a ritual for the Guadalupe every year in thanks for a good harvest or what have you. So I asked them, would you do that same ritual for me for my thanks that I want to give to the Guadalupe? And they did that. So that's the video element of Act of Faith.
And the book is available?
The book is actually it was a project that I did with ICP. There was only 100 of the, or was only 100 of the books made. Again, this is kind of like in the artist book, the zine kind of, art practice that, you know, that we do at, Oxnard Plain, but no, there's only 100 of those made and that's done. And then maybe I'll make another book in another time or another way of Act of Faith.
You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
You're invited to dine indoors or on the secluded garden patio, the sunny patio, or the covered creekside patio with fireplace at Pierre Lafond's Montecito Wine Bistro, where you'll enjoy the popular pizzas and many other dishes from the wood-burning oven, daily specials from Chef Victor, and selections from the elevated wine menu featuring Lafond and Santa Barbara Winery wines. Open daily at 11 for lunch, wine, cocktails, dinner, incredible desserts, and a daily happy hour from 3 to 6 with very unique appetizers. In the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, improving attitude, creating social harmony, bridging the achievement gap for teens. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Brian Palmier.
There you go.
And Jaime Balon. That's all right. Me, yeah. The experience in the military influenced your work. Is there any type of obvious? If I looked at some of your work, would I see some of the sense of the fear, the horror of it, or is it more in how you were able to channel it into something more positive? I mean, how does it manifest itself?
Well, I didn't. When it comes to that work, I have two bodies of work, PTSD and I have Active Faith. Active Faith is more of a body of work that talks about gratitude. And in PTSD, yeah, if you're talking about more of a linear narrative of experiences of war, my video PTSD is paralleled with a video from Varanasi, India, where you go on a boat, you go up the, you know, you go up the Ganga, the Ganges River, and you basically dip into a certain area because not only do you have your sins forgiven, but you have the sins of your father forgiven. And that's a two-channel video that I did. And on the other side is a patrol I did in northern Iraq where we hit an IED. So I'm just basically, I'm paralleling those two journeys, one before and one after, and asking forgiveness for that. And not only asking forgiveness, I come from a military family. So if you bathe in this area or you dip in this area, not only are your sins forgiven, but the sins of your fathers are forgiven also. I have an uncle that did the same thing. Basically, he did the same kind of work in the military as I did. So that's another narrative that works in my work also.
Well, you're a brave guy because a couple of years ago, I took a boat in Varanasi, and the guy said, don't put your hand in the water. Forget about it.
Well, you know why, right?
Yeah, it's filthy. It's the filthiest water.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's because there's a crematorium.
Yeah, right there. I saw it.
Yeah.
And I also saw a guy, and I have a picture of it you don't believe me, on me right now of a guy in a tie, a raincoat, brushing his teeth in it. And apparently, if you believe that this is holy water, no one gets sick. It's amazing, you know. Yeah, but he said, for you, keep your hands out of the water.
Well, you don't got the ends, you know, yeah. New York, keep it out of the water.
Right. So, you know, AHA, the show is called AHA Presents About Education. AHA is a teen program that deals with teens and helps them get through, which is always a difficult period in anyone's life, being a teen. And I wonder, you know, there are programs in town here, and it seems clear to me that art can be a help, not just in, you know, PTSD, but also just to get a teen through a difficult time.
100%.
So how is there a way to get teens more involved with art where, you know, they don't think of themselves as artists, but it would be good for them to either become more understanding of it or be able to actually create something?
Yeah, I think just making that platform for them. And, you know, I sort of started this and made the platform to be able to share what I've learned, because I, when I was interested in expressing myself through art, I had to learn all of these things, and you know, I don't think it's sacred knowledge that should be kept. So you know, everything that I've learned, and same for Brian goes, we share that with everybody. And
And what age were you when you got interested in art?
I got interested in art around 19. So I've been practicing art for about 10 years now.
And yet you're a history major.
Yeah. So that was sort of an intentional thing, just to keep a different sort of perspective when approaching art. Art was always something that I practiced when I was at CI, and you know, studying history, it sort of gave me a different approach to viewing things.
Now we talk about teens. What about just mental health in general? Mm-hmm. Can't this be used for people with mental health issues, elderly people? Isn't art something that is a tool that can bring life to people who have difficulties?
Yeah, I think it's a tool of communication. And I think if someone doesn't want to speak, like you're talking about teens, I think Jaime and I both see a lot of younger teens that, let's say, if they're, I wouldn't use the word troubled, so say, but I would say that they need maybe a little bit of confidence or what have you, and they do come into the program and they do kind of participate, they see that their voice matters. It's a very big confidence booster. And I see in a lot of young art makers right now and young creatives that confidence is the biggest thing. And I think it's I think they need to have someone to see someone succeeding and then seeing someone fail too. And then they can learn from the fail. They can learn from your failures or your mistakes as much as you learn from them also. I think the other thing too is stuff is so immediate now. And I think the success of the zine, you can or this younger generation that want to work in this format of making a zine or making an artist book. And the other thing too is that a lot of young art makers right now, they're really into the tactile. They're really into the analog. They like to work for the image. They're kind of bored of this kind of immediate taking the image. They like to use film. They like to develop this film. They like to slow down when it comes to making an image or creating an image. And that's something that, I mean, I was fortunate enough that I learned both, you know, analog and digital, and you know, same. And what's crazy is Jaime finds stuff for our Oxnard plane in thrift stores that I remember were $5,000, and he finds them for $25 pieces of equipment.
Yeah, people just getting rid of them, and people, you know, it's stuff that we use.
Yeah, I mean, generally, if you ask someone on the street, you know, what is the percentage of young artists that are looking to do things on a physical abject, they'd say very small. I mean, there's this sort of sense that, you know, everything's gone digital. And yet you can combine the two. So your work, for example, there is some mixing of
Yeah, I mean, everything. I went to Art Center College of Design in Pasadena where print was God. Like you studied and you perfected your craft so that your print was immaculate. So in my work, I like to deconstruct the print and that idea and that theory. I like to see the grain. I like to see the imperfection because I find there's beauty in imperfection. And Oxnard, that is the key. Like Oxnard, there's beauty in that imperfection.
Well, so let's slow down so we can unpack this. Are you talking about a photograph now?
Photograph anything. I mean, photograph definitely because the whole thing was mastery, right? When you're in undergrad, you want to master a process as an artist or as a person, if whatever you're studying. So I mastered it, and I was told your print is acceptable, and that print is gorgeous, and that print is perfection, Mr. Pommier. And so now I'm older and a little bit more wiser. So a lot of my work is to deconstruct that idea, to not make the print beautiful, to not make the print quote unquote perfect. I want to deconstruct that idea, and I want to deconstruct it visually.
Now, how do you do? Are you talking about printing a picture in a dog room, or you talk about photoshopping it? I mean, how do you work today, given the technology?
It's for us, personally, in my practice and Jaime's practice too. We work in both worlds.
Yeah, it's pretty fluid.
It's hybrid.
Both, yeah.
So when you want to show some imperfections, is it easier to do it in a dog room?
Well,
that's like, film. Then you have to use film for that.
Obviously. Yeah. Like okay. So for example, like let's say. I'm not the only one. There's many that are also working this. It's kind of like if there's a scratch in the negative, if there's dust where you used to spot that out or you take that in Photoshop, don't do that. Leave that scratch in there. Leave that dust in there because that's what gives us as humans. We look at it now in our context and we look at it and we're like, oh, that's a photograph. Like, you get what I'm saying? And then some people want to get super, oh, it's a moment of time, it's this and that. Yeah, yeah, you're right. That is too. But use the medium for your narrative.
So when you're thinking about what to do, do you have to have a film camera and a digital camera with you? I mean, how do you
sort of you just choose the tool for what you're trying
to say.
The tool
for the right project. So and that's what we do at Oxnard.
Okay, so you have a so you're not just, you know, lolly-dolling around thinking about what that looks pretty. You're actually working on a project where you have a vision in your head.
100%. You got to make the image, not take the image.
Okay, that's a good phrase.
You like that pull quote?
I like that phrase. Make the image, not take the image.
And that's what I push. I push make image, make image, make image, make image. And let's control that narrative. Let's control what you're going to do. You could throw a picture in a white frame and put it on the wall. You can make an installation with it. You can blow it up and put it on the side of a building. You can make a zine out of it. You can make a book out of it. You can make a t-shirt out of it. Use what's at your fingertips for your expression, for your own personal narrative. And that's the one thing, you know, and the other thing too is I think what the Oxnard Plane is like, make your own merch. Make your own merchandise. Like, you know, if you like that can be your practice. You know, I mean, anything can be an art practice.
Yeah, a good friend of mine was the editor-in-chief of a major photography magazine and for years, and he would not let anyone Photoshop a picture. It had to be whatever it was, mm-hmm. but it couldn't be Photoshopped. And,
yeah.
and I guess if he's an expert, he could tell. And so there's a sort of a traditionalist view, too.
Definitely.
But, you know, the skill of developing and working with chemicals, is that still that skill is still being taught? I mean, how do you learn that today?
I mean, you can see it at some universities where the analog is still being taught. But you see it, and we see it, where younger like people will come and they'll buy a camera at a thrift store.
Yeah, they're just trying
or
to
I found this camera, Brian. How can you? How? What do I put in it? Well, this is the kind of film you use, and this is how you do it. And to see them get excited about that, like they take the film. I wish I had the facilities to be able to process the film and do this. Right now, we can only use we take stuff up to Los Angeles or process it locally. But I think. That excitement, it's kind of interesting how when I taught at ICP was when we're shooting film and taking that film and showing it to students that aren't familiar with the film process, and they look at it and they think you're a wizard. They think it's magic. And it's just – it's so interesting where it's something that is such a definite for me, and I actually made a living – you know, I shot analog for years commercially as an editorial photographer too. But – I mean, what's interesting is it's just so it's magical for them. It's very romantic, if that makes sense. So it's part of their process. And it also slows you down and it makes you think, because there's extreme consequences. You mess up a piece of 4x5 film in today's world. That's you lost $20.
All right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
you just can't keep clipping like a wedding photographer.
No,
clipping.
No. Yeah. And like digital's great. Burn pixels all day. It's free. Yeah. You know? But film, there's a consequence to it.
Yeah. You're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
In 1962, Pierre Lafond founded the first post-prohibition commercial winery in Santa Barbara County. In 1972, he planted his first vineyard in the San Ynez Valley west of Buellton and later hired legendary winemaker Bruce McGuire to continue to build on the stellar reputation that Santa Barbara Winery has achieved for more than 50 years. Today, you're invited to experience the award-winning wines at Santa Barbara Winery at the corner of Yananali and Anacapa and the Lafond Winery at 6855 Santa Rosa Road in Buellton.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. Programs and workshops in classroom, online, with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
What's that?
This? The newest online business banking around.
Can you initiate wires and approve transfers?
Yes.
Pay bills?
Check.
Cash management?
Of course.
All business, all online, all on your phone.
You bet. My computer, too. It's Montecito Bank and Trust's new business online banking. It works as hard as I do.
Huh. Montecito Bank and Trust.
You got it. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA, helping teens achieve goals, surmount challenges, stop bullying, and communicate and listen effectively. I'm Neil Kreisel, and we're here today with Brian Palmier and Jaime Bailon, both artists and actually very interesting guys. And I always like to go past my level of understanding, so I'm going to suggest something which is probably worth nothing, but let me throw this out. One of the things that CI is so proud of is the collaborative opportunities that professors and students have to do, you know, cross-subject studies. And Santa Rosa Island is a laboratory in a way for, you know, indigenous life and for the geology of the and the history of this whole area. And we had as a guest a month ago a mathematician and the professor who runs the CI operation at Santa Rosa. I wonder if they should put photography in as part of that, to be able to go to Santa Rosa Island and to use photography as a way of bringing to light that
whole. How about just art practice in general?
Yeah.
Why don't you put a sculptor out there? Why don't you put a photographer out there? Why don't you put a writer
out
there?
Well, don't say you. We're talking out of CI.
They're listening. CI.
And they listen. They listen. They should get you. They should hire you as a professor to have a joint program there.
Well, I think they should have. That would be amazing to have a workshop out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, hey, you got on this island. You got five pieces of film. Make them count.
Yeah. Well, so I think what I'm going to do is send a copy of this this broadcast to the art department at CI, and I'm sure they'll be really pleased to hear my advice.
Yeah. Well, I know Matt Famansky over at CI, the sculpture professor there. He goes out there a lot. I see it on his Instagram. Yeah. I mean, inspiration is inspiration. I mean, and what's great about those islands? It's untouched California. We just did a proposal for an art fair in New York, and what was our proposal?
It's called Uncorrupted California.
Uncorrupted California.
You know, really what we're just trying to show, just things that are untouched.
Well, based on my experience, when I told my friends I was moving here, the first question they asked was, where's California? They didn't even know quite sure exactly where it was. They knew it was past New Jersey, but it wasn't really. There was another, and there's probably more, Cal State Islands graduate that has had their work displayed. And I would mention their name, but I can't pronounce it, Weishat Alvitre?
It's Wishoyo Alvitre.
Okay, now what is he or her work?
Well, her work is a lot of she's a comic book artist, and she deals with a lot of Native American sort of issues that are more recent. We did a print run for her, and some of the imagery was what was the team? The Redskins?
What? Yeah, she did. She had three pieces. One, Take a Knee, that dealt with the usage of the Redskins, that
football
name,
team.
The football team, and changing that. The other one had to deal with Migrant Mother, which was a Dorothea Lange, right?
Yeah, Dorothea Lange
image that was during the WPA. Where no one really knows the real story, where Wishoyo brings that out in color, where it was native. She was native. The woman was. It was never.
Yeah.
It was never
the famous Dorothea Lange photograph, where
migrant mother,
and it was never really said that she was.
She was native, and things like that. Her work is very socially and very politically charged. What's great about her work, though, it's non-intimidating, and it's great because it has an amazing message. And a lot of young people are very attracted to her work aesthetically and actually with the narrative that she's presenting in her work. And she's just she's a great person in general just to talk to, because she's just – first of all, she grew up on
Native lands.
Yeah, native lands here in California, which is something that is not very common. And you should just have a show with her. She's amazing.
I went to Mexico City last year,
and
I saw that gigantic
mural. Of which one?
Of
Paseo de Governamento?
Yeah, and it was really fascinating.
You're talking about the one that Diego Rivera did?
Yes.
Okay.
And, you know, it's art, but it's also a history lesson.
Whoa.
Telling you what the perception of people were. I mean, there's such violence in it, and there's such disdain for humanity in it.
Definitely.
And it reflects, you know, sort of the I guess, what was going on emotionally at the time. It's really an interest. It really makes you think.
Oh, and it puts his work in context, if you really look at that piece. Yeah. And that piece, what's amazing about that piece is it was so funded by the, you know, Mexico government, and he has a lot of anti-government, you know, imagery and subject matter in that.
Rockefeller Center in New York.
Oh, I mean, that's the most famous.
They had no idea. What he was.
But, dude, that's, you know, you got to respect that, you know. It's just like, wow, man, that's some cojones, you know.
So you know, this program, the Oxnard Plain, how is it funded?
Well, we had we had a small operational grant from the city of Oxnard, and we're operating out of the Carnegie Art Museum's gallery space. So,
Which is called CAM Studios.
Which is CAM Studios.
It's an auxiliary.
But other than that, it's sort of just
Out of Brian and
self-funded
pocket.
So you don't you're not looking to raise money.
Well, we're trying to sort of see how we can do that.
It's a little nomadic right now too, where it's at the university. It was at CAM Studios, at Carnegie Art Museum, and now it's at Cal State Channel Islands. And
then in February, I don't have the dates exactly, but then we'll be doing the Oxnard Plain at Santa Barbara City College as well.
So, you know, it's interesting because one, and I'm not trying to be snotty here, but, you know, Oxnard is not generally considered to be the center of the art universe.
No.
And so for them, it's probably a really good thing to provide you with.
Either did Soho, New York, right? Either did Below Houston, right?
That's true. but there was a similarity because it attracted poor people for generations. My family, my grandfather ended up down there with the rest of them in 1900. So it was, you know, now it's more expensive than the Upper East Side.
100%. Yeah. Brooklyn's more expensive than Manhattan
so
now.
So how come you lived in New York
and
I lived in New York
and
you don't sound like me?
No, because I'm born true, 100%, born raised Oxnard. I will never change. And that's what I do.
So you're listening to AHA Presents About Education on AM 1290 KZSB, and we will be right back with our final segment.
Celebrating 50 years of serving loyal regular guests and first-time visitors, the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli invites you to enjoy their huge selection of fresh-baked sweets, cookies, carrot cake, muffins, and the famous farm cake, granola, Oreo popcorn, wine cake, homemade soups, and the popular fresh juice bar. Or get a coffee drink or fresh-squeezed juice and peruse the famous wall of greeting cards at the Pierre Lafond Market and Deli. Open 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily in the Plaza del Sol, Montecito Village.
Santa Barbara residents interested in a four-year degree have more than one choice. CSU Channel Islands is a four-year accredited university offering more than 30 academic programs that are interdisciplinary, multicultural, and centered on you, the student. Your professors are accessible mentors who go above and beyond to help you pursue an undergraduate or graduate degree or certificate to advance your career. CSU Channel Islands is affordable and financial aid is available with campuses in Thousand Oaks and Goleta. Call CSU Channel Islands at 805-437-8520 or online at csuci.edu.
The Central Coast may seem laid back, but when it's time to work, no one works harder, including the bank that's grown up here. Montecito Bank and Trust offers customized lending and banking for all businesses, big and small. It's harder than offering one-size-fits-all solutions, but it's the right thing to do. And here, getting things right is a way of life. Montecito Bank and Trust. Behind every great community is a great bank. Montecito.bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome back to AHA Presents About Education. AHA helps teens manage their emotions, support their peers, and serve their community. I'm Neil Chrysella. We're here today with Brian Palmier, Jaime Ballion, both artists, teachers, mentors, who have created a wonderful opportunity for artists to share their work. It's called the Oxnard Plain. There's a show now in Camarillo at CSUCI that will be there until February 9th that you ought to take a look at. And we're talking about art as, in a way of life, in a way of reflecting of life. If somebody is interested in getting involved, you offer mentorships. How do you get involved if you are somebody listening to this and say, "Wow, that sounds really neat"?
Well, what we're doing right now at the university on Thursdays, we're calling that studio practice, and that's where we open up and have people come in and talk about their work, critique their work. So that's really been our main way of gauging what people are looking for in mentorship and sort of growing those relationships.
So if someone strolls in from Santa Barbara, for example, and has a little portfolio of stuff that you find interesting, will you talk to them?
That's what we do.
Oh, absolutely.
That's exactly what we do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is great. So if you're listening out there and you're an aspiring or even an accomplished artist and want to share your ideas with some really, really interesting, successful people, you may want to get down there before February 9th, but also they're coming to Santa Barbara in case you're too lazy to drive to Camarillo. So what are you doing in Santa Barbara?
So basically we'll be doing the same thing, just a shorter run, and we'll be opening up for we'll have a couple of workshops where we'll do our critique and just have a place where people in that community can show
where is that going to be? Do you have any idea?
It's not in the main gallery at it's in one of the spaces at the City College.
It's at City College.
Yeah, City College. Yeah.
And how are you going to promote that so people will know about it?
They'll be promoted through our website and social media at www.oxnardplain.com.
Okay, and you may want to have it on City College's website too.
Yes, yeah, that'll be all.
Yeah, that's great. The next step. So you've got this thing going. You said that, and this is really a neat part of it. You're working to help artists, but you're also helping yourself in terms of regenerating your batteries, getting ideas. What's your next step? What are you looking for the next 5 years?
Well, really just to put Oxnard on the make a distinct voice and have that be shown to people around the world and in the art world.
And you want that because?
That's where I'm from and that's where Brian's from and we're just really proud of where we are, and it's made who we are. And
are there art galleries in Oxnard that are interested?
It's not. I don't. Art world's different than that. I mean, the art world. We want to take Oxnard, and we want to kind of like put the Oxnard plane. We kind of want to put it in the newer way of how art is shown at art fairs and what you call a pop-up gallery or what have you. Maybe that pop-up gallery can be in Mexico City. Maybe that pop-up gallery can be in Mérida. Maybe, you know, we'll go to Spring Break. We applied for Spring Break, which I did last year, Spring Break Art Show in New York. We could do NADA and all these different art fairs as this organization, Oxnard Plain. Yeah, I would love for there to be galleries in Oxnard, but does the city of Oxnard want that? Who knows?
Do you talk to them?
Yeah, we've talked through because I am a board member through the Carnegie Art Museum and things like that. Yeah, we have talked to them, and they're interested in it, but you know, they have their own goals and what they want to do with development and things like that. That would be my next goal, is where I can find a very prominent or maybe have some kind of institutional affiliation for the Oxnard Plain where the Oxnard Plain can have a permanent home. And, you know, we can actually maybe go out there and find some proper funding for it and as, you know, an outreach, a community outreach.
So, Brian, you're a successful artist that's been shown all over the world. Jamie, you're younger, starting out. Mm-hmm. So is working on Oxnard Plain a distraction for becoming successful artist on your own?
No, because I really success for Oxnard Plain would be success for me. That to me has become my main art practice, and I think it's shown in the collaborations that I've done when I stop focusing on my own work and putting myself out for other people is sort of where we began to get more sort of recognition and just more things happening.
Well, you know, coming from Wall Street, I can say the difference between Wall Street and art is exemplified by Brian and Jamie's willingness to look at society first. I wish there were more people in this country that were in the same mindset. Brian and Jamie, thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you for being here.
You've been listening to AHA Presents About Education. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.